This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The reasons behind we are tested and trialed are three, okay? The first one is called tanqiyah. Okay, so tanqiyah means filtering or sorting. Bit of a tricky word to pronounce. Tanqiyah, filtering. It's filtering and sorting of what? It's filtering and sorting the true believers from the untrue believers. Yeah, or the true believers from the hypocritical believers or the doubtful believers. It's a way to sort the who you are. So when a test comes, you feel it in yourself. You're going to make a choice. I'm going to rise above this test and get closer to Allah, or I might sink from this test and draw away from Allah, which we're actually seeing more and more amongst our Muslim communities. People who were once there and solid, starting to drift away. May Allah protect us all. So the reason behind a trial and tribulation coming your way, it's to filter you. And it's to question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does question us in the Quran. He says, do you think you'll be left to say, we believe, and you won't be tested? Allah kind of challenges us. You think you're just going to be saying, Allah, I believe. Allah's going to test that belief to see, is it shaky? Is it just going to fall over? Or is it like rock solid, firmly planted with a solid foundation? Okay, and the tests in themselves, of course, they're going to help build that strength of foundation. The tanqiyah, the filtering and the sorting of the truthful believers from the untrue believers, the truthful from the liars who say they believe but they don't truly believe, it's to see if you are going to step forward and have patience. It's to see if you are going to have acceptance. It's to see if you're going to be happy with the qadr of Allah. So imagine a test comes and it's not nice, it's not pleasant, it's giving you turmoil, you feel physical pain from the test. Your heart, you have anxiety, you wake up, it's the first thing you think of, it's the last thing you think of before you go to bed. You don't know how you're going to get through it practically, you don't know if you can sort it out, a lot of it might be out of your control, but are you happy with it? Do you really say, alhamdulillah, it's from Allah, like, I accept it. Like, I know I'm going to be okay. We'll figure this out. This is from Allah. Okay, so you can only be happy with a test if you have a strong tie to understanding what qadr means. Qadr is divine decree, accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that's one of our six pillars of iman, to believe in the divine decree, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides what does and doesn't happen to us and happen in our lives. So you can only be happy with a test if you have that concept of a strong sound concept of understanding Qadr. Okay, another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tests is to teach or to discipline. When a test comes your way and you're feeling the pinch of it, ask yourself, what does Allah want me to learn from this? Even if it's when someone has wronged you, yeah? Sometimes we just think they're in the wrong. They've done the wrong thing. They need to learn a lesson. We have lessons to learn too, even when we are the victims of wrong.
Sometimes it's hard to think like that, especially like if you have a really big trial, like someone passes away, or there's something really like consuming that's going on in life. It's hard to just take a step back and be like,
exactly. In the forefront is the pain. But if you look through and you ask yourself, what is my tarbiyah in this? What is Allah trying to teach me? Because everything that happens can teach us a lesson.
But sometimes we can't, like,
can't see it.
See what the lesson is. But sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, this is awful.
And then you have to
understand why.
And then you have to have patience until the lesson comes. Because you can guarantee that the lesson will come. Guarantee. But you won't see it immediately when you want. It's when Allah says, now your heart's going to see it. And that's why we have to have patience until we get that lesson. Yeah, patience is a very important part of it. So another reason in teaching is to discipline too. Sometimes we're getting a little bit maybe weak or a little bit neglectful, negligent, a bit loose in some ways in our spirituality or in our iman. So Allah sends a test to shake us up. And we all know this. Like, look what happened earlier this year at Christchurch.
Yeah.
It shook the ummah. Some who were wishy-washy, it was a way of tanqiyah. It sorted them. They were always on the fence in their deen and they were like, no, I'm with the Muslims. Yeah, they stepped forward. It sorted people. Yeah? So There's a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can discipline us through our tests too. And sometimes this is what happens when very bad calamities happen, but it wakes up a portion of, you know, of the ummah who need to wake up, and Allah is calling them to something as well. So you will, inshallah, through tarbiyah, become more strong. You will learn, and you will, inshallah, be able to not fall into becoming depressed. Okay? When you're looking for lessons and you're looking for the wisdom, you're looking for the growth, it'll protect you from sliding down into depression and despair. Okay, so there have been tests in my life that have come, and you know, when I look at it and I'm like, some of it I'm like powerless to change or impact. I just have to hold space, be there for people that I care about, and the tests that are happening to them, you want to just lift, you want to help. Seeing them in that pain is a pain and a test for you in itself. But you just have to sometimes just wait. See, Allah's teaching me a lesson through having to witness this or experience this or be a bystander to this. She will feed off the laughter, and
she gets very cheeky.
She needs tarbiyah, that one. All right, so tarbiyah. The third one is tazkiyah, which is, you guys know what tazkiyah is? Purification. Okay? When we go through hardships, what are the narrations that we know? That when a believer is tested or they experience any kind of pain, even the prick of a thorn, it's an expiation for them. They lose sins. When you're in pain from your test and you feel upset, anxious, distressed, depressed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you feel that pain, is removing your sins as you are patient with that pain. Yeah, you're not saying anything displeasing to Allah. You're not complaining about Him and His decree. You're like holding, like, this is such a hard test. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to get through it. That pain and worry you're feeling, even the worry, Allah will forgive your sins. So it's win-win. There's no way really to lose from a test. Yeah, you'll only lose from the dunya, material. You'll lose your home. You might lose your wealth. You might lose your job. You might lose a person in your life. You might lose a relationship. It's all dunya stuff. But with Allah, you don't lose anything. Always win-win. That's how kind and generous He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so tazkiyah, purification from sin, also purification of your heart. When you go through a test or an injustice, to forgive is a journey of purification. To not hold resentment and bitterness, to not hold hatred, is a way to purify your heart, subhanAllah. So look at all these three reasons why Allah tests us. All good fruits come from these tests. With whatever reason, we don't know why Allah has tested, which specific reason. But these are just some of the fruits of tests. So instead of just like, tests so hard, how do we get out of it? Let's look at tests from the, you know, the perspective of tests are a beautiful thing and the source of great traits and purification and strengthening. It was a while ago now, yeah, about 10 years ago or so. I was doing a lesson. I used to teach from home, just like local friends and local community members. And we used to have lessons and programs from my house. We just read some articles and notes and from some books. And I remember one night I was doing a lesson teaching about Qadr. And I ran through how to teach about decree and understanding the decree of Allah. And, you know, like, I love the topic because it's always such an uplifting topic when you learn and understand Qadr. And then later that night, a situation happened with someone very close to me. And I came to find out something which was really like devastating, heartbreaking within our family. And it was just absolute crisis point. In that moment though, of like disbelief, oh my God, how are we going to get through this? What's happened? I was like, you know, you just did a lesson on Qadr tonight. And even Allah planned that to prepare you for this. So like losing it wasn't an option. Yeah, losing it in that moment, losing it in the days that came as this test unfolded, it wasn't an option because I had the understanding of Qadr to lean on. And again, this is the power for us as Muslims of knowledge and seeking knowledge and being reminded of who Allah is and what life is about. Knowledge is like the key. That is the survival kit to truly overcome trials and tribulations. to have knowledge of understanding, this is the way to deal with this now. This is the way to cope through it and get through it. So, you know, in that time, I think, I don't know, if I didn't have that lesson, that actual night, like, I was like, what are the chances of this situation coming right within an hour and a half, 2 hours after the lesson? How? Again, that is the qadr of Allah in itself, but it reminds you of how Allah looks after us. You know, like, if I'd had that maybe another time when I was maybe feeling weaker, maybe I wouldn't have coped. Allah knows best when everything is meant to happen and when it's best for it to happen. So, again, we just have to learn the understanding and perspective when the tests come our way. So how can we get through hardships and trials and tribulations? So how can we overcome them? That's what we're trying to address and ask today. One of the key important things that we often know as Muslims is that we need to be patient. Yeah, so patience is one of the most important keys we know and we learn. We always learn about the merits of patience, but we struggle to practice and implement it. Yeah, being patient, we know it's one of the best virtues. Wisdom, until we have truly internalized what patience means and that our patience is very clearly, strongly channeled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Patience for His sake. And again, knowing the reasons, why should you be patient? What are the benefits of being patient? And in reality, the only way through tests is to be patient. Because they sort themselves out. When have we ever had a problem that was always the same intensity, the same level of problem, and it never ended? The problems will always flow. Finish one problem, new one comes. Or the problem changes. Or yesterday it felt like the end of the world, but the next day you had a sleep, you woke up, it didn't feel as bad, okay. Like, and it slowly, and like they say, time heals all wounds. Over time, the tests, you either build resilience or you get used to it or you get over it or they pass. Yeah, so you know how we feel like it's doom and gloom, this test. We have to put ourselves into the reality of knowing that it's not always going to feel like this and be like this. You know, sometimes I'm like, today's like something's going really bad today. But I remind myself, you know what, after a good night's sleep, usually, almost always, guaranteed, you feel better the next day. So the intensity and the severity of the test isn't ongoing and everlasting, yeah? And when we remind ourselves of that when it hits, that gives you a bit of relief too. Because what people tend to do is they tend to get like a magnifying glass on their situation. And you know what happens when the sun shines through a magnifying glass? It narrows in and then it burns. Yeah? In the moment, that's why people lose it. You can lose your emotional, mental coping capacity and capabilities because you're zooming in. But when in reality, what you want to do is actually zoom out and look in the bigger picture of things. This feels so yuck right now, but in the big scheme of things, it's going to pass. Tomorrow it won't feel as bad. It's going to go up and down. But overall, you'll always be okay. No test is too big that it will swallow someone and, you know, destroy their lives, you know. There's always a way to find resilience in that part. And we know there are people who've been tested way more than our tests. And you look and you're like, how? How? People who have no physical ability sometimes, fully paralyzed. Some people have terminal illness. Some people who lost all of their family, living destitute in the street, but live with gratitude every day. We know when we look at the big picture, that compared to the tests of others, our tests are, they're painful, not to, make them like they're not so bad, but our tests are sometimes painful, but in the big picture, there are a lot worse tests that could happen. So again, this perspective is very, very important. So patience being an important key with our tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions patience in the Quran in 90 places. 90. Which means what? Must be very important. Must be very essential for us as Muslims to have patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 177, وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And be firm and patient in pain or suffering and adversity, and throughout all periods of panic. Be firm and patient, yeah? In suffering, pain, adversity, panic. Such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. So when you find out something, or when something's come your way, and you're shaken by it, yeah? those are the times to be firm and patient. Ground yourself. Ground yourself. So imagine now we had an earthquake. Yeah, a'udhu billah. Masjid As-Salam Wollongong is quaking.
Yeah.
What do we do? What do you do? How do you stand? Do you guys just sit laying back like that? What happened? You guys grab. You ground yourself. You be firm. I got to hold my balance. I don't want to get hurt. I want to help others. We're like, what do I do? This is what we should be like. When the world is shaking and quaking, our lives, things are happening, be firm. In what? In your faith and conviction and consciousness of Allah. Allah, what are you filtering through me in this phase? What are you teaching me? What disciplines am I going to gain? What purification can I get from this test? Drawing straight to those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Those who show patience and constancy and work righteousness, for them is forgiveness of sins and a great reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, O you who believe, seek help with patience, patient perseverance and prayer, for God is with those who patiently persevere. And sometimes we feel like, oh, tests are coming. It's, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he even said, you know, that in one hadith, he said, there will come a time, you're sitting on the rooftops with one of the other companions, he said, there will come a time and fitan, trials and tribulations, will fall on these houses like the rain. Imagine that. And sometimes when you look around, you're like, I think this is now. Because it just doesn't end. It feels relentless. It feels like everyone's going through different tests. Yeah, so you might feel like that sometimes. But the important thing is when you say, oh, there's so many tests and so many people are just like losing it, letting go of their religion through these tests, maybe I should join them. Shaitan will say that. Just join them. They've all gone weak. You go weak too. You know, you won't be as weak as them. So these are the thoughts, the whispers that will come. But you have to have patient perseverance. Stay fast to your prayer. Even you have to be alone in those tests. Yeah? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, whoever would be patient, then Allah will make him patient. So patience will breed more patience. And there is no gift that is better and more comprehensive than patience. It's one of those attributes that we should all aspire to be someone who's known. She's so patient. Yeah? Ask our kids, they'll be like, my mom's very impatient. Yeah? So we want to be known, have the reputation of being someone very tolerant and patient. That the winds, like these winds that we've had, hit, but you don't shake. You're like a strong pillar, not like a flapping piece of sheet metal. Yeah? Because what happens when you have loose sheet metal when the winds blow? It becomes shrapnel flying through the air and it can cause big damage to itself and to others. And that's what will happen if we don't be patient. You can end up flying off the handle and you're dangerous, spiritually dangerous, physically dangerous to the community, to your family. You become a very toxic person. Oh, saw that coming. Anas ibn Malik reported the Prophet, peace be upon him, passed by a woman who was weeping beside a grave. And he said to her, fear Allah and be patient. She said, go away from me. You haven't been afflicted like a calamity of mine. And she didn't recognize that was the Prophet commanding her to be patient and fear Allah. Then she was told that it was the Prophet. So she went to the house of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And she didn't find any guards there. So she said straight to the Prophet, she said, I didn't recognize you. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, verily, patience is at the first strike. What does that mean? When true patience is the test comes and immediately you're solid. That's what patience is. That's when you know you've found patience. Yeah, that a test comes and doesn't knock you, it doesn't distress you the way it may be used to. That's when you know you found that sweetness, the true patience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. So we often think that being patient means dealing with major calamities like death or illness, disability, loss of wealth, livelihood and homelessness. So yes, patience in those situations is extremely important. We need to remember and realize that patience is also required for many other areas of life. So examples, when you're traveling or on a journey, right? Holidays, it's time to spoil myself. I'm going on a holiday, you know. And then when we get bad service, we're like all grumpy and we're like, you know, we become maybe disrespectful. You want to see patience or tests, go to Hajj and see people pushing people, doing tawaf, or in the Rauda, in the Prophet's Mosque, where they're to pray and people are stampeding over elderly people. Yeah, it's really scary. Another time important to be patient is when you're frustrated or angry with someone or something. Don't let that anger or frustration get the better of you. When you've been wronged, to be patient, even though you've been treated unjustly or something's been done to you which is wrong. When you have to study and you're inclined towards slacking off or you want to give up and you say, no, I have to be patient on this path of study. When you're waiting, no one likes waiting. When making dua, or maybe, you know, when you're waiting in peak hour traffic to just be peacefully tranquil, yeah, and not a road rager. Trying to do ibadah in the best way, you need to be patient sometimes to pray properly. It's easy to just pray and rush because you just, oh, I just got to get back to things. To be patient means all that's going on there, but my salah, I got to give it my maximum attention that I can. That takes patience as well. So don't just think of patience in terms of tests come and now you have to stay strong as a Muslim. It's also forbearing things that are happening in, around you. Another important part of overcoming, aside from patience, that I want to touch on, this second one, is tawakkul. What is tawakkul?
Trusting Allah.
No, because it's recording. Mary, don't remember.
Tawakkul.
Is it reliance, trust in Allah?
Yeah, trust, acceptance, and reliance. Which we've kind of touched on all throughout anyway,
throughout these. But just to make an important point about patience and then tawakkul going alongside it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever places his trust in Allah, Allah is enough for him. So when tests come and then you trust Allah, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be enough for you to figure out the way through. That becomes enough. You don't need anything from anyone. You don't need like someone to fix it or you have to fix it. You're like, I trust Allah with this. I will do what needs to be done to get through it, but I trust Allah with it. That initial and immediate or gradual, however, whatever it takes, submission, where your heart is like, Allah, I submit to you. Again, this is what being a Muslim means, like submitting your will. I want a certain outcome. I want this problem to be fixed. But I have tawakkul in Allah. And whatever is meant to be, that's what it's meant to be. I leave it to Allah. Because he promised us, whoever trusts, puts his trust in Allah. Places his trust in Allah. Yatawakkal. Puts your trust. This is your trust. Because usually we think, I'm going to take care of my life. I. You put your trust and you go, Allah, I leave it with you. That submission and that trust. When you place it with Allah, Allah will be sufficient. And we're reminded, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And put your trust in Allah if you are believers indeed. If, see this except this exception, if you are believers indeed. It's the key to be true believers, that we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In putting our trust in Allah, it doesn't mean give up your effort. Like, you know, some people just, like we were saying, do we just like let go and we just trust Allah and we accept His decree, or do we still make effort? So the scholars have said that tawakkul in reality doesn't deny actually working and striving for provision, for Allah Almighty has decreed that we should work and that it's from His ways that He gives people when they strive. In fact, Allah Almighty ordered us to both depend on Him and to work, to take the necessary steps needed to achieve our goals. And so the act of striving for our sustenance is an act of physical worship, while trusting and depending upon Allah is faith in Him. So your trust and dependence on Allah is your iman. When you work towards, you know, your livelihood or fixing your trials and tribulations or working your way through, that becomes worship. Okay, so your iman is that trust, that internal relationship with Allah, and you're actively making effort is worshipping Him. So when you're trying to sort things out, you're being the better person, you're being committed to, you know, to your goals or trying to fix a situation or correct a wrong, this is worship, that effort that you're making. So again, it's all win-win, yeah? There's no way to lose out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, so seek provision.
She's at the corner of the chair.
Lila, careful, Mama, don't fall down.
She's falling.
No, I'm just seeing her at the edge of the chair. Yeah. So.
And she's got her thongs on the wrong way. So Allah says, so seek provision from Allah and worship Him alone. So striving to resolve all matters in our life is very important. So we do have the element of striving. What does tawakkul involve? So tawakkul involves that while you plan, only Allah can determine the outcome. And the outcome is the best for the person in that given moment. So when we're making efforts, again, we're not even supposed to attach ourselves to a set outcome. So you're like, if I study hard, I'm going to get a good job for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you study hard, and you can't find a job. The outcome is up to Allah. And you have to then work in another industry, start your studies all over again. The outcome is up to Allah. What happens is when we attach to our desired outcome is we then experience unnecessary grief from it. And it's almost self-induced because we're like, I want my outcome. The outcome is with Allah. So you have to have trust in Him. So like kids, we put in all this effort, energy, sacrifice. Mm. Then they reach the age of free will. And they say, I choose this. I don't want to do that. But you're like, no. I did all these ingredients. The outcome is this perfectly baked cake. And then the child is like, I'm not going to be that perfect. But how do you cope now with that? You have to accept that the outcome is up to Allah. As we're seeing like the example of Prophet Nuh. His son rejected his 950 years of effort message. Yeah, so we have to, again, it's preparing ourselves to let go of that desired outcome that we want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we trust His decision, His decree, and accept it. So when you trust in Allah, you realize that it involves you to take care of yourself. So sometimes people think that trusting in Allah means they don't need to do self-care. Yeah, Allah will look after me, my health, whatever's written, that's how long I'll live, and then they let go of themselves. It's very important that we trust in Allah. We have to look after ourselves, look after our physical health, mental health, emotional well-being. Yeah, it's very, very important not to let those things become unhealthy. Yeah. And we have so much psychology in Islam that can remedy and protect and help us, you know, with a lot of the calamities. In my chat group that I've got with sisters at the moment, there's a massive discussion about anxiety. A lot of sisters suffer and struggle from anxiety. You know, I had never in my life experienced anxiety, and then it hit one point, and I had it for about a year, and I was just like, what is this feeling? And then someone was like, I think you have anxiety. And I was like, oh my God, I have anxiety? How? Where? And then I had to go on a path of understanding why, and using Islamic and Quranic remedies, as well as my own checking in with myself. What's going on? What is in my conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind that is stirring up some of these feelings that I was experiencing? So it's a very important responsibility that we have. Okay, I'll just touch on levels of tawakkul, and then we'll close with the three outcomes of when we're tested with calamity. So levels of tawakkul. I thought this was really good because we often like, I don't know, do I have tawakkul? Like, we're not sure. Do I have tawakkul? I think I do. Or what are the levels that I might be at? So if we had to describe the first level of tawakkul, it could be tawheed, that it is the basis for tawakkul. We believe that Allah is the best sustainer, He's the all-knowing, the all-capable, and He's sufficient to rely on. All things could happen or occur only with His will and instruction. So that basic foundation, Allah is the one who takes care, and He's the all-capable to take care of the decree. The second level is to believe that every matter has a cause or a means. So this is what we learned here. Some people give up utilizing these means due to their ignorance, and they think that this is reliance on Allah Almighty. They wait for Allah to send down their provisions and food and take care of their concerns and affairs while they do nothing. We should not be complacent or inactive. We should do everything that's available for us to reach our goals. We have to believe in Allah, but with that we have to do something by ourselves as well for living our lives. The third level is to remain firm in relying on Allah alone. Indeed, a person's reliance on Allah can't be fulfilled until one relies on Him alone. So we're like, I have trust in Allah, I do depend on Him, but then you're like, I need to talk to someone, can you help me? Yeah. Or like I need, you know, you feel like you need to continuously seek outside help or support. The fourth level is to depend on Allah wholeheartedly and then feel tranquility when doing so, to the extent that one does not feel confused about their provision. So you just feel calm. Your dependence on Allah, you don't have any grief or strife or ongoing anxiety from it. The highest level of tawakkul towards which we should all seek is to realize that the element of reliance on Allah is to trust all matters to Him voluntarily without being forced to do so. So where you trust Allah without feeling forced. You know when a test comes and you're like, I have to trust in Allah, I have to, you're forcing it because it's not coming naturally. So the highest level of tawakkul is it comes and like you're not even knocked again by the wind. It doesn't even sway you. You just absorb it. You just absorb straight to trust in Allah. It's from Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's the goal of tawakkul. And you might be blessed sometime in your life to meet people like that. When I've witnessed it or I've heard stories of it, you're just like in awe. You're like, oh my goodness, how? Like, how? And that's why these women have strong, these men and women, strong trust and reliance and dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's goals, you know, iman goals. To close, inshallah, three outcomes that come from trusting in Allah. So when we're tested with either major calamities or other challenging areas of our daily lives, there's three outcomes that we get to choose from. Number one, we have stagnancy. You're the same. You aren't any better than you were before the test, most people. The tests just flow in and out. It just knocks them. They blow wherever it blows. And they're kind of just caught up in it. Number two, failure. Fail the tests. That means you're in a worse state than before the test. So some people fall into that. Some of us will fall into that. After a test or during it, you kind of just lose that grip on your iman. And the third one is success. That's when you're in a better state and you're closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than ever. And that's very few achieve that, where they are closer to Allah after the test. From tests, we have stagnancy, failure or success. And that's what we have to choose, and only we can really gauge. And that's important for us to know and keep in mind that after a test, we end up stronger because the tests will continue to flow in life, guaranteed. But what we want to do is for them to each test is a stepping stone to a higher level of iman and a stronger relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's why He sent them, yeah? Every test is a calling back to Him, a reminder that He is the controller, a reminder that He is the one who decrees. He is the one who gives and withholds. He is the one who gives life and takes life. He is the one who provides. Yeah, He's the source of all goodness.